test, if I got the PowerPoint right. Well, there's the first slide. Welcome to a new year. New year. Some are saying a new decade. New changes. Changes for you. You got an ugly old mug up here now. I was already accused of wearing a bright tie this morning. Some of you know now that I've got socks and suspenders to match. But it is 2020. There are changes. Changes for you, but changes for me. I'm not used to preaching every Sunday to this large of a crowd. And you may think it's small, but this is growth for me. One thing I want to do in 2020 is help us all to grow. One thing that every congregation wants is for these numbers over here to grow. But those numbers are not going to grow unless you as an individual are growing and willing to grow. You have to be willing to be a stronger Christian, a better Christian, tomorrow and the rest of this year than you were yesterday and last year. So, as a new year begins, I'm reminded of the fact that we are 1 year closer to our death. There was an old preacher by the name of T.B. Larimore that talked in a sermon that he preached in the late 1800s, early 1900s in Nashville about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. And in that sermon, he pointed out that when you're born, you are on your way to the grave. That your heart is a beating drum leading to the grave. And you might think, well, you know, you look around us and we've got these little ones. But it's true. I mean, each one of us have what's called a birthday. And we like to celebrate it, or some of us may not like to celebrate them. But each day that passes, we're drawing closer to the Lord's judgment. The scripture on the screen says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're all marching toward that last day. That's a day that's inescapable for everybody. Nobody's going to be able to say, well, I don't want to go there that day. You don't have a choice. That day is going to come when we're going to hear either come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Or you're going to hear in the next few verses what he says, that he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You've got one of two choices, one of two options that your life is projected to end in. And you might think, well, that's the elder's job. That's Jeff's job. Now that they've hired a new preacher. No, that's your job. How you're going to project your life to spend eternity. It doesn't matter what I preach from the pulpit. I've had people in the years past that have stood at the back door and argued with me and told me I was wrong. You may look at this scripture today and say, you're wrong. Had a lady walk out of Shebaugh Mills back a year or so ago and caught one of the members and told them that I was wrong. Well, let's study. No, I ain't studying. If you think that I'm wrong or that the elders are wrong, there needs to be more studying. Since we are 1 year closer to that day when our final destiny is going to be forever determined, I want to take this opportunity. As I said to some of you after Bible class, I want to cause you to think. I want to stir up your brain. Get it to be more than a pretty head of hair for some of us. Some of us not so much, right, Travis? But I want all of us to use our noggin for something other than a hat rack. I want us to think. What have you done in 2019? What have you done in the past, even before 2019? And I want to make some suggestions, resolutions, if that's what you want to call them, for not only the coming year, but years to to come in the future. My goal here is to encourage all of us to make better use of the time that we have left on this earth. Now, some of us have more time left than others, but all of us are leaving this earth. Everyone here has a destiny that you cannot escape. You're going to die one day. And when that happens, the next stage in your life is to meet the judge. And I want us to be prepared for that day of reckoning that waits on every one of us. So let's begin by looking at the past year. Well, my PowerPoint's not working just the way I want it, but we'll take it. In the past year, has your relationship, our relationship with God or Christ, improved? Did we grow? Are we better today than we were? You know, as I work with the elders, I don't mean any disrespect to any of them, but we need to be looking at the future to add to or have to replace elders when something might happen. Have any of you ever thought about that? Anybody here ever thought that we might have to replace a deacon? What would happen if something happened to all of the elders or the majority of the elders and we lost them? Do you have any men ready to step up and take that position? Not if we're not planning and not if we're not growing. Have you drawn nearer to God in the past? James 4, verse 8, tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's a promise that James makes, an inspired writer. So have you drawn nearer to your God and to Christ? Has your relationship improved? We need to bear in mind I agree with you. Well, my power, there it goes. We need to bear in mind that being close in a relationship depends on good communication. They talk about marriages. You ever hear them talk about that a marriage depends upon good communication? I agree. But a good relationship with our Heavenly Father depends upon communication as well. He has communicated with us. He's told us everything we need to know to be better Christians, to be strong Christians. We alluded to that in the Bible class this morning with reference to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. But are you talking to Him? Are you communicating with your Father? Are you telling Him your needs? What you need in your life, what you want in your life. Now granted, He may not give you everything that you want. He may give you what you need instead. Have you been faithful in listening to the Word of God? Have you been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? Another year, like I say, has gone by. Did we read the Bible at all this year? Talking about 2019. I know of people in my past that have read the Bible through from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Have you ever done that? I haven't. I read it a lot in studying and preparing for Bible class and Bible, sermons, but I've never taken the time to sit down and read it from in the beginning to the last word, to the last amen. But another year has gone by. Have you made any provision for reading the Word of God? If not, it's especially important that if you never have, can we honestly say that we're taking our relationship with God seriously? You know, one thing that I look at in this world that we live in are all these denominational people. And you see them on Facebook, you see them on TV, and they go, "Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord." Well, are you doing what He said? No, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't believe in baptism. I believe women can stand in the pulpit. Then you're not doing what the Lord told you to do. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 15, verse 14. If you love me, do what I say. But I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. Are you taking God's relationship with you seriously? Have you been steadfast in talking to Him? Any effective communication requires a two-way street. So therefore, fervent Bible study should be joined with a hearty prayer life. Has our degree of prayerfulness increased or decreased this past year? Did you pray more? Did you pray less? Oh, I'm sure you had those moments in your life when you really wanted to break the glass on the fire alarm and say, Lord, I need you now. But He needs you to pray to Him more than just in cases of emergency. We need to be thinking about what we're saying to Him. Has our relationship grown? Has our relationship with our brethren improved? Has our love for one another increased over the year? Paul says to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 9, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's God's commandment. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Somebody says, well, I'm at the services Sunday morning. I'm there for Bible class, or I'm there for preaching. Isn't that enough? What more does the Lord require of me? He requires your all. He requires your life to be a sacrifice. When Paul wrote Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said in verse 2 that is your reasonable service, that you are a living sacrifice to Him. Everything about your life should be revolving around God and His Word and obeying what He wants you to do. That includes loving the brethren. Are we closer to each other than we were last year? Marilyn and I came down yesterday with Travis and Serena and a few others. And we were here from about 8 o'clock till almost noontime. I know Marilyn and I worked up an appetite. We had to go home and eat a sandwich. But there are people here that are working. I know the Hendersons were here and some others. But what are you doing to draw closer to your brethren? Well, I saw them Sunday. I heard their name mentioned on the sick list Sunday morning, and it was repeated again Sunday. I know. I heard them. I heard about them. Have you been to their home? Have they been to your home? And I know this is a tough question for me, but do you even know who all your brethren are? Yeah, that's going to be tough for me, like I say, because I'm still learning everybody. Each year brings new relationships, new members to the family of God. Are you making an effort to even learn their names? Has our relationship with those in the world improved? I used to work a factory job, and I had to work across the assembly line from people. I used to work for Cook's Pest Control 24 years, and I had to have a relationship with people in the world. Now, granted, to my fault, I didn't always tell everybody that I was also a preacher. But somehow word got out. You know, either I took a vacation day, a sick day or something, and somebody would run in my place, and when I'd go back the next month, that customer would say, I hear you're a preacher. Sometimes it's a pastor. What church is yours? So then you have to take time to discuss God's Word with them. Are you drawing closer to God? Are you improving your relationship with those in the world? It's important to have that relationship. It's a heavy responsibility. You may be the only Bible that they ever hear in their life. You ever thought about that? You may be the only Christian, the only Word of God that they ever hear. And as people of God, we have that important responsibility to those in the world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount there. Yeah. And he tells us that we as believers are to be salt and the light of the world. He says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What he's telling you is that you have got to flavor the world. How many of you believe that this country, this world, is in a sorry shape when it comes to things like immorality? It's in bad shape, ain't it? Can you imagine how bad it would be if there were no Christians to add the savor, to add the salt of the earth? Or if there were fewer Christians? Now, look at it from this standpoint. If you're not doing your part as a Christian in this world, how bad is it around you? If you're doing your part as the salt of the earth, then the world is going to be better. Your world, anyway, is going to be better because of you. Because of your work in the kingdom. He says, if it's not doing its job, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Notice what Jesus says here next. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do people that you work with know that you're a Christian? Or do they have to find out, you know, from other people telling them? People need to know. You're the light of the world. Like I said a moment ago, you may be the only Bible that they ever come into contact with. Your life. Your life. To have this prominent influence, this positive influence in their lives. Jesus said in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. That's the good stuff. You are the salt. And he tells us that to demonstrate this power, this better way, that you are the light of the world. You are that lighthouse, that beacon that draws people to a sense of normality and sanity. The people in the world are in darkness. They need you to be that city set on a hill. Have we made progress this year in developing meaningful relationships with people in the world so that the light of Christ can be seen in our lives, so that the gospel of Christ can be communicated to them? Or are we like most neighbors in this day and age? We live next door to somebody and we don't know anything about them. Now, I'll tell you, my neighbors are like this. I've got a house full of immigrants from south of the border in this house, and they're not as quiet as the ones on this side of me. But that's a graveyard. So I don't ever hear a peep out of them. Okay? That's a bit of humor that I don't usually. But we need to know our neighbors. Y'all remember the old Tim Allen show where the neighbor would come and put his nose up to the fence and that's all they knew about him? Wilson, I think, was his name or something like that. Having forgotten a lot of times the southern hospitality. You know, used to, if your neighbor had a loss or something, you'd take something to them. A pie, a cake, or a meal, or something like that. Even if they didn't go to church with you, you carried something to your neighbor because they were your neighbor. They were seeing Christ in you when that would happen. Or are we like most neighbors in this day and age? We just simply live next door to them and don't care who they are. These questions that I'm raising can be summarized in this way. Another year has come and gone, and have we made the use of the time that the Lord has given us, or have we wasted it? It's likely that all of us, to some degree, have not made good use of this past year. But at this point, we can look at the Apostle Paul's words from Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended,
But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So with this attitude in mind, this thought, let's make some suggestions for the year ahead. Let's make that resolution, that resolve to draw closer to God. Let's read our Bibles daily. I mean, it is the most powerful book that has ever been printed. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to read. We need to read the Old Testament through this year. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14 that we need to read the Old Testament. We need to study on the Old Testament. We need to know what it says. He says that those things were written before, were written for our learning. And if the slide will ever change, you'll see the scripture. But he also tells us in other passages, like 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11, that we need to look at those scriptures and what happened in the Old Testament. To see, and like we alluded to in Bible class this morning, from 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, that those things that they did as children of God in the Old Testament, we need to learn from them. You know, like we alluded to in Bible class, we don't want to make our mistakes that we made last year, do we? Did anybody here make mistakes in 2019? You want to learn from them and not do them again? I do. So I need to look back at my past, not to relive it, to say, oh, I wish I could go back. You know, it bothers me sometimes. People say, oh, I wish I could go back to when I was 20 years old. I don't. I'm content with where I'm at in my life. If I could go back to when I was 20 years old, I might make worse mistakes. I need to live with my mistakes and learn from them and move forward. But we need to read the New Testament as well, and see what we're commanded to do. So for this year ahead, we need to resolve to draw closer to God. We need to be reading God's Word, but we need to be praying. Prayer is a vital part of the Christian life. The Hebrew writer talks about that we can draw closer to God and come boldly before the throne of God. We need to be a thankful people. How many of you are thankful? Now, I'm not talking about the material stuff you've got in life. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings you have. Are you thankful for this family? They are your family. Are you thankful for the people around you that are in the world that are not Christians that will help you? Consider Daniel, for example. Most scholars agree that when he went into Babylonian captivity, he was about 15 years old. All right? In chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us that he purposed in his heart that he was going to do what God told him to do. I mean, you think about it. How many 15-year-olds, when they go overseas or whatever, they think they're going to do things that mom and daddy don't know about? But here's Daniel. A young man, 15, 16, 17 years old, and he purposed in his heart. When he was older, in Daniel chapter 6, we're told that the text there tells us that he was told not to pray toward Jerusalem. There was a command that was passed. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 tells us that he went to his room, opened his windows, and prayed toward Jerusalem. We need to resolve to become closer to our brethren. We need to make it a point to learn everybody's name, and I promise you, I will try to do that. I'm terrible with names. I'm better with faces. Hey, I remember you. Get a directory. Each week, connect with a couple of names and faces until you learn them all. By having a different person in your home, maybe once a month, you can learn who these people are. You might realize you have more in common with them than just being Christians. You don't have to have a fancy dinner. Just have a pot of coffee on and maybe some dessert. Just a simple visit just to say, who are you? How are you? Nice to meet you. Or by visiting a different person or a different family each month. It might not be convenient always to have people in your home, but you can arrange to visit them in their home. If you're alone, take someone with you. Resolve to get to know non-Christians better by having a new neighbor, co-worker, or whatever in your home. Galatians 6 and verse 10 tells us to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Again, this may be the opportunity that they have to see a Bible and people putting the Bible into play. Or by visiting a new neighbor, co-worker, each month. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. But it is amazing how far simple hospitality or neighborly kindness can go. Well, I told Travis that I usually put a black slide up here. This is the black slide, Travis. These resolutions sound pretty simple, don't they? But you know, sometimes the most simplest things are the most difficult things to do. But if they're implemented, if we put them to use in our life, look at how far they can go. Look at how far they can go to producing the kind of lifestyle that is becoming to a Christian, to increasing a closer relationship with God, with our brethren, and those that are lost in this world. That's going to bless your life as well as being a blessing in their life. It's going to be a blessing to the church here and to the community. One of the things that the elders, when I met with them, they said, we want a goal of reaching out to the community. Well, let's start here. Let's build the foundation here. And then that way, when the community sees us, they might say, well, I want to be a part of that. And you can say, well, come on in, I'll help you. And we'll have a Bible study. And you might open the door to creating more Christians. Now, I noticed nobody here looked at their watches. At Shelbyville Mills, the clock was on the side wall. I moved it one time, and I got rebuked pretty hard. You put the clock back. But nobody here has looked at their time. But you realize one thing about time, it's precious. You can never get it back. And when it's fleeting, when it's passing us by, sometimes we regret not having done things in our life. Time is a precious commodity, and it's given to us by our Father. James chapter 4 talks about time or life truly being a vapor, and it is. Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren in chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and says that we need to be redeeming the time carefully. I hope these suggestions for resolutions or ideas or whatever you want to call them for the new year help you make better use of your time. Let me read to you a poem. A new year, a new beginning. The old year ends, a new year begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's past, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't go up in dark despair. Don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side, if you will do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can have, that you can leave the rest to Him. If you're not a Christian, and you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, this is an excellent opportunity for you to redeem your time wisely. You can put on Christ this very hour. All you have to do is make your way to the front, make your desires known, and we'll baptize you. It may be that you're here and you are a Christian and you realize, well, I haven't been doing
what I should have been doing as a Christian. This is an opportunity for you to make the best of your time. The Apostle Paul closes, we'll close one scripture from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and need to respond, I encourage you to do so while we stand and sing.
While we pray, while we plead, while you see your souls in need, while your Father calls you home, will you not, dear sinner, come? Why not now?
Wednesday night, we'll start Genesis. I'm going to put some outlines here and some in the back. So.